Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
News, trends, and more.
No one knows Westchester County better than we do.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Good day and welcome to Westchester Talk Radio, westchestertalkradio.com. I'm John Marino and we are produced by Shark Creative. You see the Shark Creative logo on the wall behind me in the form of a shark with a blue shark, and you got an orange and blue background. It's spelled S-H-A-R-C with a C, not a K, and we are made possible by our good friends over at Entergy, the Indian Point Energy Center. They are supporting our communities right through April of 2021. Lipolis Electric, don't be left in the dark. Get Lipolis and Hightower Westchester at Hightower. They manage your wealth to a fiduciary standard. Here on the Cup of Joe political show, we are joined by the supervisor of the town of Bedford, Chris Burdick. Chris Burdick, thank you for joining us here on Westchester Talk Radio. You are the candidate on the Democratic side for the state assembly seat being vacated by David Buchwald of the 93rd District in the state of New York. And this district starts in White Plains, moves over east into Harrison, juts all the way up 684 to the Putnam and Connecticut lines, and makes a stop over a little westward over in Chappaqua. A pretty expansive area. It includes your home area of Bedford as well. Now, 2 years ago, you were a candidate. You had thrown your hat into the ring for the state Senate seat being vacated by Georgia Latimer, the 37th District one. He was elected county executive of Westchester. And then eventually you bowed out of that race for the state Senate. You are in the assembly race now. Why now instead of 2 years ago? What's the difference now between then and now?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for having me as your guest on your program here. It's an honor to be on your program, and I welcome that opportunity. And I welcome the opportunity going forward, whether or not I'm elected. So, about that, the race this time around is that, candidly, the opportunity came up. I'm very friendly and work very closely with our excellent state assembly member, David Buchwald, and have worked with him continuously since he first was elected in 2012 in a special election. And when I learned that he was going to seek the congressional nomination, and that he was absolutely resolute in that decision, I gave that very serious consideration and felt that this was a good time, both from the standpoint of where matters stood with the town of Bedford, as well as in my personal life, and talked it over with my 35-year spouse, and we felt that it would be a good move, both personally, and it's something that I felt that I could offer a fair deal to those who reside and do business within the 93rd Assembly District. Taking my experience as town supervisor and taking that to Albany, having been fortunate to have accomplished what I think was a fair deal, and also having a good deal of working relationship with other mayors and supervisors within the 93rd Assembly District, working also very closely with state agencies, state representatives, the county, our federal representatives. So I felt that I was in a position to be able to serve the 93rd Assembly District well.
David Buchwald, of course, was one of the candidates in the Democratic primary for the House congressional seat being vacated by Nita Lowey. You were first elected back in 2013, so you've been elected four times now. You are the four-term incumbent as the Bedford Town Supervisor. What has been your greatest accomplishment since day one?
You know, I could point to projects, which I will briefly touch upon, but I think that the greatest accomplishment, or what I'm most proud of, is providing a high level of communication and interaction with the community. It's something that I feel is the highest responsibility that I have, is to both inform and be informed by the community in everything that I do. And so that's something that from the very first day that I came into office, I felt that I should give the highest priority. And I've done that in a variety of ways in terms of trying to make our town government more transparent, doing everything I could to inform through newsletters. We have daily newsletters, and I've continued that through the pandemic. Monthly newsletters, annual reports of what the town is doing. We put on our town website more than we ever have before, so that somebody says, well, I want to see that union contract and I'd like to issue a FOIL request. And I said, you know, you don't need to do that. We always post the union contracts on the finance department page. That's an example of what I've tried to do. And then a lot of that does lead right into projects, which I've been fortunate enough to accomplish because it came from the people of the town of Bedford and the business community as to what they felt was needed. And so when it became clear that we needed to really try to tackle the issue of sewers, talked about for well over 100 years and defeated four times in the last 30, I said, you know, we got to give this another try. And so a lot of that just came right out of my conversations with the community to say, you know, Chris, you really need to give this a shot. And so we did that, and I'm very proud of the fact that we're doing extremely well with our first phase of our sewer project. It's a $60 million project, of which the property owners within the sewer district only have to come up with the debt service on $1.25 million. So it worked extremely well from a funding standpoint. It's vital to the economic vitality of our two business districts in Bedford Hills and Katona. And, you know, further, it's also the largest environmental remediation project in the town's history by tackling a very serious wastewater issue that has deleterious effects on our water quality. So of the projects, I would say that's highest in terms of what I am proud of. Very proud of an affordable housing project that we got done against all expectations of being able to meet timelines and such. we got 684 paved, the section running through Katona, thanks to a lot of help from our state senator, Shelley Mayer, and neighboring state senator, Pete Harcum. And, you know, that also was a long time in the making. So we've gotten a lot done. And as I mentioned, I think that that experience and that knowledge is something I can take to Albany to serve everyone.
You talked about how in Bedford, you don't need to file a FOIL, a Freedom of Information Law request, to find out what's going on. How do you get those daily newsletters
and those weekly and monthly newsletters? But I frankly, that's right.
Yeah. How do you get those newsletters? Is it online every day posted, or is it an email blast?
It's actually both. What we do is we do an email blast that'll come out late afternoon, early evening, and I'll put into it. You know, like today, I was talking to my secretary who helps physically put it together. And I said, okay, Phyllis, I want to talk about Halloween again. I want to talk about early voting. And I want to give people a preview of what's coming up on the town board meeting next week. And so we do that on a daily basis. And I also feel that what government is we're in a service business. People pay a lot of money in their property taxes to live here or to do business here. And we have an obligation to provide the highest quality service we can, you know, while being fiscally prudent and fiscally conservative. And that's always been my mantra. So actually, by having more available online and through information sharing, and to the extent that we might reduce the FOIL requests that otherwise would be issued, we're saving taxpayer money as well because of staff time that is entailed in replying to those FOIL requests.
So for a town resident who wants to get those emails, those blasts from you, they have to sign up with the office, with your office for that?
That's right. Very simple. Supervisor@bedfordny.gov, and we'll put you on our email distribution right away.
Now, I noticed the endorsements you've rung up throughout this campaign. You've been able to get the endorsements of pretty much every public official around the area, your area of Westchester, including Republicans, too. How have you been able to do that? You're a Democrat, and in this polarized era, age, time we live in, generally you don't see a lot of cross-party pollination when it comes to endorsements anymore, yet you've been able to do that.
Well, you know, I have made it my business to work very closely with every elected official that I can. I've had personal interactions with the mayors and supervisors through the work I do with Sustainable Westchester. I helped to launch Sustainable Westchester and get it on its feet as one of its first co-chairmen. I'm currently vice chairman. And so that, together with work that I do on, I'm the vice president of the East of Hudson Watershed Corporation, which deals with water quality issues and deals with, and we have members throughout Northern Westchester and into Putnam and Dutchess counties. And so I work with them year after year. And as a member of the executive committee and on their board, we have meetings twice a month often. And so it's a working relationship. It's one in which we look to find what's our common ground? What can we achieve together? What is practical? What is cost effective in terms of using public funds? And through that, we have mutual respect and understanding for one another. And I think that that is the basis for the support that I've received.
Here on The Cup of Joe Political Show, Westchester Talk Radio, I'm John Marino, and we are made possible by our good friends at places like Entergy, the Indian Point Energy Center. They support our communities and promise to do so right through April of 2021. White Plains Hospital, thanks to everybody there, our heroes throughout this COVID-19 pandemic of 2020. Wartburg Healthcare and Rehabilitation in Mount Vernon, Parker Sterling Realty in Bronxville, and Michael Labriola Landscape Design and Construction in Armonk. Speaking with Chris Burdick, the town supervisor in Bedford. Chris, 2020, I'm sure has been the most challenging year since you took office back in early 2014, the COVID-19 pandemic, the curve starting to move upward again, tick upward in some areas. Is it still under control in Bedford?
Yes, it is. And you know, I think that we're very fortunate that we have a steady hand in leadership, both at the state level and in the county level. And I just have to both thank and commend our governor, Governor Cuomo, as well as County Executive George Latimer for their tireless efforts and their sound judgment. You know, people may not remember that a few months ago, we were very seriously concerned that we wouldn't have enough hospital beds to take care of those that were stricken with the virus. And that even led to the county center, with the assistance of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, being converted into a hospital. Those were only a few short months ago, but that's what we were facing. We were facing the unknown. We were facing a situation in which we felt it could be absolutely catastrophic. And the governor and our county executive took strong measures to ensure that the catastrophic would not happen. And so we were able to avert that. And the continued efforts, as frustrating and as difficult as it is, you know, those are critical to our safety, our public health. Here in Bedford, we saw the immediate need to act upon it. I think I was the first supervisor to close our parks. I felt that that was something that know, you have children playing on playground equipment. You have people gathering in groups that are unrelated and that could be unknowingly carrying the virus. And so we did that early on. We took measures to ensure that we enforced as best we could the protocols which the governor had issued. And so we also worked very closely with our emergency responders. I had meetings at the onset of this 2-3 times a week with the representatives of our fire departments and our volunteer ambulance corps, working with our public works commissioner and with our police chief. What do we do to make sure that our emergency responders themselves aren't knocked out of service because too many of them are stricken by the virus? And they took extraordinary measures to keep themselves safe. And we did everything we could ourselves to assist them with that in providing personal protective equipment and all of the materials that could assist them in meeting that task. So the sum of it is we have been spared the worst of it, and I think it's due to strong measures that had to be taken and a community that recognized the severity of the problem. And I also wish to thank our community for their understanding, their patience, their recognition that we need to do these things. As difficult and as stressful as they may be, we need to take these actions to protect ourselves, our families, and our neighbors. And our community has absolutely risen to that challenge. And that's made all of the difference.
Businesses have been reopened for a number of months now. Schools also, too, now heading into month 3 of the reopening. As we head towards the end of 2020 now, what do budgets look like for 2021?
Budgets are very challenging. We were last year, we were very conservative when we adopted the 2020 budget. People may know that there was a 1-point increase in the sales tax that was put into effect about mid last year. And we were very conservative when we adopted the 2020 budget to actually use only a portion of what the finance department of the county had projected that the town of Bedford would receive in its portion of sales taxes. I use that as an example of how we do our budgeting. We're very cautious, we're very conservative on our revenue forecasts, and we also are conservative in terms of our expenditures, both in holding them down and making sure that we don't be too optimistic in terms of what our expenses will be. As a result, in my watch, we have not had an instance in which, except this year, not had an instance in which expenditures exceeded what we budgeted. And typically, year after year, we would actually have a very slight surplus that would go to the reserves of the town. This year is going to be different. This year is going to be different. One thing is that because we were so conservative in our projections, be they the sales tax, be they mortgage reporting tax, and so forth, it will not be as severe as it otherwise would be. But we will almost certainly run anywhere between $500,000 and $1 million in excess expenses, or the net being that the net will be greater than it had been budgeted. Fortunately, we're in a very strong financial position. We have very strong reserves, AAA bond rating that we worked very hard to retain. And so by no means is this something that will be any kind of great threat to the fiscal position of the town. We're not slashing payrolls or knocking out employees, which is translated into a reduction in service. We're doing our utmost to maintain existing services. We have our police force at current levels going forward. We're not having any reduction there. I mention that because that's our largest department. The same is true of our Public Works Department, our Recreation and Parks Department. So we're trying to keep a very steady hand. We have reduced for 2021 what we anticipate that we're going to be devoting to road paving. And we similarly had to do this in the last recession. And then after the recession and the recovery, we slowly put money back into the paving budget. But I can say that we will have a property tax compliant budget, and we will do our utmost to maintain our level of services. But there was further tight belting that we had to belt tightening that we had to undergo in order to do that.
Now, here we are in the era of social justice and police reform. The governor has mandated that every municipality, locality across the state present him with a police reform plan on his desk by April of 2021. What might that look like at the moment in Bedford?
Well, that's really a document that's going to be put together with the community, with the stakeholders, stakeholders in the community, as well as our police department. And, you know, we're going into this without any kind of preconceived notions. We are certainly not going into it with the view that we're going to defund the police, nor is it going to be any kind of view that we are going to simply give the police department a pat on the back, though I do think they have been doing a very good job. So with that, we have created the committee that is going to first listen. That's their first responsibility, is to listen to the community. They're going to, with the stakeholders and with public hearings and meetings, they're going to get the view of what people feel our police department's mission should be, the extent to which it should be modified. What should we be doing in the way of training? What should we be doing in the way of the outreach to the community? What should we be doing in terms of how they handle arrests? All of which I think we're doing a good job on as it is, but there's always room for improvement. And this is no exception. Our police chief has an open mind. Our town board is looking at this with, as I mentioned, without having any preconceived notions or any decisions made ahead of time. I'm proud of the fact that we have a police chief that's part of the county task force on this and is highly respected here in town as well as in the county. And I think it's going to be a very thorough effort, and we'll come up with some very positive recommendations on how we can improve policing in our town.
Final few minutes with Bedford Town Supervisor Chris Burdick. Mr. Burdick, as we move towards the end of, I guess we're in the middle of it now, we could say, storm season, storm preparedness in the town of Bedford. Where do we stand with that? We've had one or two big storms already this year, and supposedly more could be on the way. Are we ready to go? Are we prepared for the next one?
The town of Bedford itself, we're very fortunate to have excellent services on the part of our Public Works Department that are highly experienced and capable of responding to a storm, the storm destruction that occurs, whether and also in working closely with the utilities themselves. It would be an understatement to say that I was extremely disappointed with the work of Con Edison on this. They were very ill prepared, notwithstanding the fact that they had several days in which to prepare by making sure that they had the line crews and the resources in place in order to respond effectively to the August 4 storm. There's no reason why it should have taken the weeks that it took for us to be fully restored. Also very disappointed with Verizon and Altice, Altice being the owner of Optimum Online. We have both franchises in our town, and between the two, Altice was the least prepared. But here too, there was insufficient preparation for the damage that the storm would be causing to their infrastructure and to their system.
Is there a way to fix that with all of these entities, with Con Edison, with Altice?
Well, you know, I think that the governor had stated that it appears apparent that we're going to have to do more to disincentivize that kind of reaction and to incentivize them being better prepared by increasing fines and penalties and taking a look at the licenses that the utilities hold as for the right to do business within the state of New York. And I completely support that approach, that unfortunately you need to take that kind of action in order to prompt the shareholders of these companies to say, you're going to have to do more management in order to respond effectively. I think NYSEG, I wish to mention that I think that NYSEG did a very good job in response to the August 4 storm. And there's a study in contrasts. One is that NYSEG prepared for the storm. They had their resources in the field the day of the storm, late in the evening. They stayed with it. They had crews that were there overnight. They got the job done quickly. Their communication was much better than it had been in previous storm events. And so NYSEG is the example of how it can be done right. And Con Edison can simply take a page from NYSEG's book to determine how they can make sure that they don't have a recurrence of the fiasco that they had with the August 4 storm.
Bedford Supervisor Chris Burdick again is the Democratic candidate in the race to succeed at David Buchwald 93rd Assembly District, State of New York, covering the eastern part of the northern portion of Westchester. Chris Burdick, if you are elected to the Assembly, what is the succession plan to take over for you in Bedford?
The succession plan is actually set forth in our town law and also in the state law. In January, should I be successful, then I would be resigning my position, and contemporaneous with that would be my being sworn in as a member of the Assembly, and thereupon the town board, the four remaining members of the town board, would have three options. One would be to call a special election. The second would be to appoint an interim successor who would fill out my term, which expires at the end of 2021. And the third is that they could leave the position vacant, in which case the deputy supervisor would assume my responsibilities and authority, but she would not actually have the title of supervisor. She would have the authority, but not the title. So, and I'm not being coy, I honestly don't know. You know, I don't know whether the town board itself knows what they're going to be doing on this, but that's how the succession plan works under law. I am very confident that the town of Bedford will be left in good hands. We have an extremely good staff. We have a strong town board, and I am very confident that leadership will be of the highest quality.
Chris Burdick, want to wish you best of luck in the race for the Assembly, and thank you for being part of what we do here at Westchester Talk Radio. I know we'll talk again in whatever capacity for you that may be. Again, best of luck to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, John, and I enjoyed being on your show and would look forward to coming back.
Yep, Do want to have you on again, and hopefully that happens sometime soon. Chris Burdick, Town Supervisor in Bedford. I'm John Marino. We are Westchester Talk Radio, westchestertalkradio.com, produced by Shark Creative. You see the Shark logo on the wall behind me. It's Shark with a C, not a K, and the orange and blue up on the wall behind me. And we are made possible by our good friends over at Entergy, the Indian Point Energy Center, supporting our communities through April of 2021. Lipolis Electric. Don't be left in the dark. Get Lipolis. Hightower Westchester, they manage your wealth to a fiduciary standard. White Plains Hospital, thanks to our heroes at White Plains Hospital for all they've done throughout this COVID-19 of 2020 pandemic. Wartburg Healthcare and Rehabilitation in Mount Vernon, Park Sterling Realty in Bronxville, and Michael Labriola Landscape Design and Construction of Armonk. Catch all of our Westchester, Fairfield, Putnam, and the Dutchess Talk Radio programming on our YouTube channel, Shark Creative. YouTube.
You're listening to Westchester Talk Radio,
powered by Shark Media, a division of Shark Creative,
and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center.
Visit safesecurevinyl.com.